Several weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago, I think it was, did a message, or I did a message on the Lord's Prayer. And in that Lord's Prayer, there is that statement, the Lord's Prayer says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And I have been thinking about that, meditating on that for several weeks, actually, thinking that that is one of the most powerful prayers we can pray, but sometimes I don't think we really understand what it means. So the prayer goes like this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what do you think God does with that prayer? Does he just kind of wrap you in this big bubble when you pray that prayer, so that you're surrounded by this bubble of air and it can't get to you? So you're just protected. You can do anything you want and you're just protected. Or is it like bubble wrap? You know, we sent a bunch of cookies that were left over at our place to Billings, Montana. And we wrapped this thing in bubble wrap, and we understand that they all arrived without breakage. So maybe we just need to start using bubble wrap. So we start wrapping our arms up in bubble wrap, shall we? So, Lord, deliver me from evil. I don't think so. So I don't think the Lord's talking about bubble wrap. And I don't think he's talking about putting you in this envelope of things that so it can't get to you. He's talking about a few other things. There are some things in the scripture that talk about what he expects out of us when it comes to temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but my weeks have been full of temptations. I don't know about yours, but I would say that yours are also. And the reason I know that is because we're going to get to a verse here today that's going to talk about that, that the temptation is common to all men. And so today, we're going to take a look at this idea of resisting evil, resisting temptation. And to start with, I want to take you to this idea right here. First of all, we need to know our enemy. How do we find out, how do we stay away from evil? How does God protect us from this? How does he keep us away from the temptation? What is the process that he uses? And the first thing I think he says is, I want you to know your enemy. And this particular verse right here kind of stands out to me because it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. So first of all, it says, stay alert. Be watchful. Understand that this enemy, and he is an enemy of ours, the devil is his name, and he is an enemy. In fact, he's the great enemy of God. He's at war, been war with God, and he's ages old, and he's not retiring anytime soon that I know of. But it says that he's our great enemy, the devil. That's his name. Okay, so we also know some things about him. We know that he's a deceiver. In other words, he's a great liar. So whenever he speaks, it's all lies. We know that he's in the process of setting traps or snares for every believer. He knows us inside and out. He cannot read your mind, but he does know your habit patterns. And so he knows that if you're kind of depressed over here on this side, that if he lays out this trap in front of you, you're probably going to fall into it and you're going to succumb to the sin. And so he lays traps out for us. He is an accuser of the brethren, it says in the scriptures. He stands before God and he accuses you all the time. He says, why are you listening to that person? They're so sinful. Did you see what they did this week? So he's accusing us before God. He's a roaring, prowling lion. What do lions do who prowl? They're out for supper. Okay, and so when the person or the animal that lion gets a hold of gets got, I don't know if you could say that, They're dead. They're destroyed. They're out of commission. And that's what he's trying to do. Scripture tells us he is here to kill, steal, and destroy anything that is of God's. He wants to eliminate it. And he's looking for you and me. He is prowling for us. He doesn't care about the people who are in this world. He cares about the believers because he wants to destroy your life. He says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Notice there's a stand up against him. There is this idea that there's a faith element in this. And so first of all, we need to know our enemy. Our enemy's name is the devil. Sometimes his name is Satan. Now, before we go any farther with this, I want you to understand that he is a created being. He was created by God. He was a majestic angel, it says in Isaiah. And he chose to think that he could be God. So his pride raised up and God threw him out of heaven. And he became the Satan of old, the serpent of old, the serpent that is yet in this world. And he has governance over this world. He governs this world. And that's why it's a mess. So we are to know our enemy, but the next thing we need to do is we need to resist him. And this is our primary verse for this particular sermon. But it says, so humble yourselves before God. So let's just stop right there. It says, humble yourself before God. This is the opposite of self-reliance. This is not, I can do it myself. It's not, if I just work hard enough at it, I can do it. If I just memorize enough verses and have those at the ready, I can do it. He says, humble yourselves. And Lord, God, I can't do this. I am unable to resist without you. You are my strength. You are the one who makes it capable to do it. So if you are in a tempting situation and you think, if I just do this, I will be okay. Understand, it isn't going to work. We do not have enough strength in ourselves to do this. We need to humble ourselves before God and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't know how to do this. Would you give me the strength to do it? Humble yourself before God. And then it says, resist the devil. So we resist him by basically saying to him, I don't want any part of you. Now, we don't do it in our own name because we have no power, okay? But Jesus has given us his name. And he says, in my name, you may do this. And he says, in the name of Jesus, I resist you. I want no part of what you are doing in my life. I resist you in the name of Jesus. What is the promise if we resist? Humble and then resist. It says he will flee. He will flee from us. So how do you resist the devil? Well, one of the ways you can resist him is simply by doing what Jesus did when he was in his temptation. He took three temptations in the wilderness, and each time he quoted a scripture that was reference to what he was going through. And so he had these scriptures memorized. He knew what he needed to do, and he quoted the scripture to Satan, and it said that Satan left him. He resisted. So he resisted with scripture. We also resist with prayer. Prayer is asking God to do what only he can do. So at the point of the temptation, it's not a matter of saying, I can do this. It's, Lord, would you please help me? Would you right now stop, prevent, keep me from evil? It's a humbling prayer. Notice that it says, come close to God and he will come close to you. When you sin or when you're in the situation, who's moved, God or you? Well, generally we have moved. God doesn't move. So if this is God right here and I'm in a relationship with him and I'm walking with him and then all of a sudden a temptation comes, the temptation has this effect on me. I kind of move midpoint. So the temptation's over here and God's over here. And now I've engaged this temptation. I may not have succumbed to it yet, but I've moved this direction, okay? And so if I want to come back to God, I humble myself to God, I have to come back this way. So I turn back to God and now I'm closer to him again, okay? So it's he hasn't moved. When we humble ourselves, we move close to God. This is the safe place, being close to God. Then it goes on, it says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and this world. James is telling us that when we move into temptation, it's because our loyalty is divided. Our desire for something is greater. Temptations come from three sources: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's where they come from. What I see, I want. What I feel in my body, I want. And the pride of life is what I deserve, I want. And so those are the three things that happen in our lives. They come from those three. They're internal to us. They're our desires, okay? And so what he says is, your loyalty is divided. Give those things to God. Let him meet those needs. If you try to meet them on your own, your loyalty is divided. And so he says, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. So we resist. First of all, we know our enemy. Second thing you do is you resist Satan by humbling yourself before God and coming close to God. And the next way is to look for the way out. So remember, we're not talking about bubble wrap here. We're talking about how do we get out of temptation. So then you look for the way out. This verse here begins with this phrase: therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed so that he doesn't fall. I think this is in this particular preface to the verse we're going to come to, because sometimes when we're in temptation times, it's because we think we have got it figured out. We think we're mature enough, we shouldn't have this problem, or we think that it's gone away and we're never going to have to deal with it again. That God's protecting us, that we have this big bubble around us, and it's kind of like he says, if you think you're standing, you better watch out, because you're about ready to go down. Because to think I'm standing is the essence of pride. I'm standing. I can do this. Rather than humbling myself before God and say, no, you know, I'm really not standing. I'm really in a bad place right now. And then he goes on to the second verse, and it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Notice this, that all temptations are common. You are not alone. This is the first lie that Satan will give to you, and that is, you're all alone, nobody knows, nobody cares, it really doesn't matter. Says here that all temptations are common to man. So if I were to talk to Butch down here and talk with him man to man in a quiet, secluded place where we didn't have to reveal anything, and I shared with him my temptations, he would look at me and he would say, oh my gosh, that's the same things I struggle with. Now, it may vary from gender to gender, but the basic temptations are the same: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's where it falls. They all fall into that category, one of those three categories. And so we understand, first of all, that they're common. So don't ever think you're alone in this. That's why when it says in the scriptures that we're to confess our sins to one another, it's because when we hold them in and we cover them up and we keep them in the dark, they become bigger and bigger and bigger. And when we open them up to the light, they become smaller, because we understand that God is in the business of healing us. And he's in the business of keeping us from temptation. So it says, but such is the common to man, and God is faithful. Hey, have you ever wondered why God allows temptation into our lives? Wouldn't it be simpler if God just put us in this envelope, you know, and we became perfect individuals in this world? And everybody came up to us and said, well, you're perfect. I want to become like you. So there, I want to know Jesus because you're perfect, and that way I can become perfect. Why didn't he do that? It would be so much simpler, at least from our perspective, okay? But it wouldn't show his grace at all. It wouldn't show his grace, because it's in his grace that we come to him in our sin, and he forgives our sin. And so why did God do this? Well, I think it's because of that one phrase there: God is faithful. How can God show his faithfulness except to a sinful human being who is willing to humble himself before him and confess his sins? God's grace is placed upon him, his forgiveness is placed upon him, and he teaches him how to walk with him. So God is faithful. No temptation, it's all common. God is faithful. And then notice what it says: who? God is faithful who? God is the one who's faithful. God is the one who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. So it says there, God is faithful. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And some people use this and they say, well, God won't give me more than I can handle. And I would say, you know what? God will give you a lot more than you think you can handle. Because he wants you to come back to him. We won't be tempted beyond what we are able, beyond our capacity, beyond our ability. And if you think about this, when you put humility in there, we really have very little capacity. So he knows we have so little capacity to handle this. But with the temptation, we'll provide the way of escape. Notice he says there's an escape path. There's an escape place. And I chose this translation today because there are translations out there that say a way of escape. I'm okay with that. But I like this better because I think it's closer to the original language when it says the way. What's the difference between a way and the way? A way is one of many. The way is the way he's chosen for me to get out of this. Humbling, resisting, and looking for a way out. So let me ask you about looking for a way out. How do you look for a way out? What is the way out? Well, first of all, I'll go back to what Jesus did. What did Jesus do for his way out? He quoted scripture right at Satan and said, get out of here. I don't want any part of you. So he resisted. What did Joseph do when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to go to bed with her? He ran. There's a time to run, and there's a time to resist. There is a time to run when you are all alone with the temptation. Get out of there. Move. Do something else. Go someplace where it's not there, or go get around among people, because most sin occurs when we're by ourselves. So he says, I'll provide a way for you to get out of it, that you may be able to endure it. I looked at these verses in my Greek New Testament. I was really shocked by what I saw in that last phrase. It says, so you may have the power to endure it. You may have the power to endure it. Where did the power come from? God. It's God's power that enables us to do this. Notice it says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but God will, with the temptation, provide the way so that you may be able to have his power to endure it. It is his power that enables us to endure. It is not ours. This is not a bootstrap religion. It's not a bootstrap faith. You can't pull yourself up. You cannot pull yourself out of the muck and mire of your sin. It is impossible. You will always have it. You will always fight it. That's why he says, God is faithful. It's God at the center of all resistance to temptation. He is the one who delivers from evil. He is the one who keeps us from temptation. He is the one who gives us the power to endure it. Because our strength is only in him. In Ephesians 6:10, and this is the passage where we, if you remember this passage, this is the passage of the armor of God. This is the place of the war of the saint. Okay? How do you fight the war of the saint? And this begins with this first verse. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Strong in who? Strong in Jesus, in his power. So we know our enemy, we resist our enemy, we know there's a way out, and we look for that way out that we can endure it, and God is faithful, but also we understand that Jesus is our strength. He's the only strength we have. That's it. He is our strength. Be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Why is that? Because we face an enemy that is invisible. You can't box this enemy. That's why bubble wrap doesn't work. It's not a part of this world. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh, not against the people that are around us. By the way, so when you face somebody and you're at odds with somebody, and you know, maybe it's your friend, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's somebody you just don't like on the other side of the political spectrum. I don't know, okay? Know that they are not the enemy. Their flesh is not the enemy. They are not the enemy. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and against powers and against forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. This is a description of the authority lines in underneath Satan. Satan is a created being. He only can be in one place at one time. There's no way. He could probably move pretty fast, okay? But he's in one place at one time. He's dealing with bigger stuff than you and me. But he has people who are the powers and the rulers and the forces of darkness. These are the authority lines underneath him, the generals and the captains and lieutenants and everybody that's underneath him. All his demons are wrapped up in this description. And they are all unseen. You can't see them, you can't box them, you can't fight them. You can only know who they are, resist them, look for the way out, and find your strength in Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about the armor of God and how it plays into this. Because there's a certain amount of armor that God gives us, essentially a spiritual bubble wrap that goes around us. And we're going to talk about that next week. But this week, I just wanted to introduce you to this idea of resisting. And why? Because I think New Year's tend to be difficult times. Especially January's and February's, in my mind, okay? Because they tend to be cloudy, and we tend to be a little more depressive this time. And, you know, we've eaten too much over the holidays, and so we all feel a little bit bloated. And, you know, we've made resolutions, maybe some of you did, maybe you didn't, but we all kind of think a new year, a new start, kind of put it all together, and by about this time in the new year, we're just kind of, this is just not any fun. This is a lot of work. I'm struggling. We're struggling with our faith. And may I suggest that that is simply one of the tricks of our adversary. He gets you depressed, he gets you thinking about yourself or your pity party, and that you're all alone, and nobody cares, and there really isn't any hope until you start reading what he says about resisting and knowing our enemy and finding the way out and the fact that our strength is in Jesus and he's already given us the victory. Isn't it interesting that Satan is a defeated foe? When Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, gave his body, rose again from the dead, Satan was defeated at that very moment. Done. But he's a defeated foe who's angry because he got defeated. And he knows he's got only a few more days left to do what he's got to do. And so he's working overtime to get us out of our sink with Jesus. So I want to encourage you this week. Look these verses up. Take a look at them. Resist. Humble yourselves and then resist this adversary that we have against us. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who has given us the capacity by your power to resist our adversary. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this morning. We know that we cannot do this on our own. It is not possible. Lord, for every person in this room, there's a set of things that are going on in their lives that are the temptations of their flesh and their eyes and the pride of life that I've got to do this for myself. And so, Father, I pray this morning that you would meet us here and you make us understand that you are our strength, Jesus, and that you are the one who gives us the capacity to see the way out, and you are the one who allows us to resist Satan and to come close to the Father. Lord God, I'm just praying right now, interceding for my brothers and sisters, asking that you would help us to live lives that are dependent upon you and resisting the evil in our world. Would you meet us here this morning? And would you walk with us out these doors And don't wrap us in bubble wrap, Lord. Just walk with us that we may be with you, that you can protect us, that we may humble ourselves before you and be your servants in this world that needs to know you. In Jesus' name.